We're working our way through Romans. We're in the middle of the book in chapter 8. Last week, I read and taught from verses 26, 27, and touched on 28. This morning, I'd like to bring out some heart stuff from verse 27 and then flow into verse 28. 8:26 of Romans, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. This is where we were last week. Some deep, deep meanings in these Greek words in this verse. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. This morning, I'd like to go a little deeper in what I have to call layers of salvation. What does salvation mean? It's not just out of hell and into heaven. There's layers of relational things for us, things that God has done for us aside from anything we can do. Okay, this gets into another one. I'd like to look at that thought, verse 27, He who searches the heart. Paul says nothing about that previously in Romans. But I'm thinking he might have been on Psalm 139 from David in his thinking. It may have been brand new revelation from God right there on the spot. He who searches the heart, what does that look like? It refers to you and to me, child of God. He searching the heart, the words heart and mind are two words that are used interchangeably in our New Testament, somewhat in our Old Testament, and refers to the thoughts, but more. It refers to our emotions. It refers to our motivation. It's where we are in our deepest place. He who searches that, he knows. He knows. And based on that, he goes right into this to encourage the believer that he, the Holy Spirit in you, himself, is interceding for you with words that can't even be uttered. Too deep for words. I want to walk through Psalm 139. I think it's valuable in this setting. Please join me there. We don't know the occasion that David was going through, but he did write this psalm. Psalm 139. David says, "Oh, Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down, when I rise up, and with age encroaching, that gets slower and slower, and He knows. Thou dost understand my thought from afar. Thou dost scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways." So have you ever kept a secret and finally told God about it? No such thing. We sometimes act that way, like we're, you know, kind of behind a closed door. But He knows. He knows. He knows the need. He knows the confusion. He knows the pain. And He knows the positive stuff, because there's positive. He knows. Verse 4, even before there was a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, Thou dost know it all. And so He comes up with words that I can't even utter in my weakness. I can't. And He prays that according to the will of God. Thou hast enclosed me. That's a protection. Behind me. And before, it's a protection. He's there. I'm walking along, and he's surrounded me and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I can't attain to it, to just the knowledge about that. Where can I go from thy spirit? Where can I flee from thy presence? Good luck. If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, that place of the dead, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, dawn breaks early morning and then it takes wings and it becomes midday. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there thy hand will lead me, and thy right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to thee. And the night is as bright as the day. Now there's a good thought to remember during those tough times. Darkness and light are alike to thee. For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I didn't choose this section because of Mother's Day, but how appropriate. God at work in your womb, weaving together that human being. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And we are in an amazing time where science is able to look to smaller and smaller little particles of visible stuff inside our body. And what they say is the same as what's being said with the biggest of telescopes that looks further and further and further. All that is found is design. And God has already stated, God created. And David simply falls back and says, I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame, literally bones, my frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret. Now we're back to the womb. Skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance. That's back to conception. And in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained from me, from conception, from the weaving together in the womb, the forming of those bones, and that little creature in there we call a baby. In thy book, they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Conception before a day old. Nobody gets to add another day. And I believe in God, the one who knows all and is sovereignly over all. No one can take away a day. It's written in his book. How precious are thy thoughts to me? And I'm not sure if this is God's thoughts about David or David's thoughts about God. How vast is the sum of them? If I should count them, just the thoughts, they would outnumber the sand. When I'm awake, I'm still with thee. Oh, that thou wouldst slay the wicked, O God. And this isn't a shift. Some of David's psalms, imprecatory, they are, God, go kill him. Go kill him. Take over. This is different. This is with God, thoughts and thoughts about God in his mind, and those that stand against God, Romans 1, 18 to the end of that passage. Those that purposely subdue thoughts about God, they push out the thoughts about God, they ignore and then stomp on thoughts about God. That's who David is referring to here. Come up with alternatives to God. Oh, that thou wouldst slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against thee wickedly. And thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate thee, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise up against thee? These are enemies of God. I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Everything around screams out the love of God, the reality of God, the wisdom of God. That God is there and at work. And these are saying, no, he's not. No, he's not. No, he's not. And David can't stand it. Now, I've never prayed this kind of a prayer before. I've never done it. So I'll let God translate it into his will, however that works out here. But there's something being brought out him by him. There is a darkness that tries to push God out of the scene as if he weren't really there. And David can't stand it because his every thought is God is there. And they are trying to put the lie against the truth, and it's not going to happen. God, kill him! Can't stand this! And then he turns back to his personal part. From verse 1, thou hast searched me and known me, to verse 23, search me, O God. This is a courageous prayer to pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. I think David is admitting, I really don't know everything going on in my own person. If there's something wrong, make the adjustment. Verse 24, see if there be any hurtful way in me or way of pain in me. For these that he's just asked God to even go and take him out, I wonder if David just stopped and said, I wonder if there's a way that I am being that is opposing God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. And then, he says, lead me in the everlasting way. This is a very suitable prayer for us, the children of God, to pray. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 4 for a moment. I believe that Psalm 39 may have been in Paul's mind as he wrote that. He who searches the hearts, plural, knowing the hearts of man, because that came from somewhere. He who searches the hearts knows the hearts. Hebrews chapter 4, the whole background and a context. Step in at verse 12, well quoted among us. For the word of God, and I believe it is more than the written scripture. It is the completeness of who God is in the conceptualizing of truth to us. The word of God is living and active because he's been quoting scripture that's appropriate for them, for this letter, and for mankind over and over since the first part of chapter 1. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. For there is no creature hidden from his sight, But all things are opened and laid bare. King James dares to use the word naked before him whom we have to do. Okay, let's go back to Romans 8. With that background, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He knows my every need. He knows my fears. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my strength. He knows me. And according to what he knows, he prays in accordance with the perfect will of God, the Holy Spirit himself. Wow. What a deal. Layers of salvation, what is true, along with being a child of God. And he flows right into 28. 28 again, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Verse 29 is his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. That's his purpose. That is his purpose. That he, the son, might be firstborn among many brethren. Verse 28. He causes all things can be easily reduced to he is able to take even this and make it out for our good. I've said that. But the text says he causes it. Not just bringing to light that he is able. God is doing this. Now with Dave's story at the front there, I've got stories from this week, and we might call them coincidences. I'm not so convinced there's coincidences. From the way God weaves together even our day, we've got an idea what needs to take place, and it gets all fumbled up, and you look back and say, oh, look what God did, look what God did, look what God did. Inconveniences to my schedule. I couldn't go here and do that. Huh, but look what God did. And then the drama and the trauma comes. The difficulties come. Our sister Lynn, I've got to make note of this to you. It wasn't all that long ago that Lynn didn't even know she was sick. Not very long ago. We don't know what's around the corner. As this verse is written, we're probably all aware that he's not talking about the good things and the blessings in life. We just automatically assume, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So when he speaks of God causes all things to work together for good, automatically it's the negative. It's the confusing, it's the hurtful, it's the things that we don't understand how God could even allow this, and sometimes brings that thought to our mind. Is there a God really? Or is he really good? Look at this. Looking at the news consistently, internationally, nationally, and locally, there's bad news. And God, who is good, causes all things to work together for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. What a God we have. More than that, what a Father we have. Not impersonal God. Father, Abba. Abba. And we can cry out, Abba, Daddy. I don't understand this. This hurts. And he is working these things to his will. I've noted Jesus himself was treated pretty miserably, horribly, yet was never outside the will and purpose of God. And at the end, he prayed that prayer. Father, Abba, if it is possible, let this cup that I'm about to drink, the cup of the wrath of God for mankind, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, this separation from his Father, let it pass from me, yet not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus was treated horribly. He went through drama and trauma that we can never, never understand and relate to. The apostles themselves, I want to read just one little excerpt from 1 Corinthians, just right around the corner. The apostles themselves, their lives were oftentimes very miserable. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, just a few verses. And by the way, there's quite a few other places that Paul talks about this. I've just opted for this short one. 1 Corinthians 4, 11. That's not right. It must be right. Where did that go? Oh, that's chapter 2, Goofy. 1 Corinthians 4, 11. To this present hour, we, apostles, are both hungry and thirsty and are poorly clothed and are roughly treated and are homeless and we toil, working with our hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to conciliate or console. We have become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now. Whoa. Who wants to sign up to be an apostle? Okay, Jesus went through it, the apostles went through it, and essentially Jesus said, expect it, tribulation's coming. Expect it, but I've overcome the world. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. Know that it hated me first. Just tighten up the seatbelt and hang on to the saddle horn. Here we go. That's life. Life can be tough, often unfair and unjust. So for us to pretend otherwise is to be in la-la land. Some are in the habit of saying, it's all good. Personally, I hate that phrase because it's not all good. I know that they're well-meaning with what, you know, I'm not attacking them, but it's not all good. And consoling ourselves by singing the self-help song of our current era, don't worry, be happy, may put us at the same place as the author of that song went. Suicide. It's not the power of positive thinking. Oh, just be happy. No, that's what the world might try to feed us. That's not what it is. Life, I'm quoting another teacher that I heard for a point. I loved it. Life is unfair. But God is too loving to waste pain. Powerful thought. I don't care what your pain is, what my pain is. If he is not just able, but is doing this, causing all things, and you know the word all, you know what it means? There's no other way to translate it. To work together for good to those who love God, but it doesn't say it's according to my will, according to my comfort zone, according to my timing, according to my thinking, though it gets really creative, how I think it should work out. That's really the thing. In fact, I'm not sure if my creations have ever fit with what God ended up doing. And I look back and say, thank you, God. Yours is better than mine. When I have the smallest sliver, it demands my attention. And it irritates me till I just stop and take care of that. Just a little. I need two pair of glasses on to even see the blooming thing. And all that attention, a hot spot on my littlest toe is the same. So it's fully natural and reasonable that when big things, impossible things, painful things happen, we can't help but feel the impact and just have an involuntary reaction. No shame. It's hard. But what will keep the child of God thinking correctly and acting properly, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, keeping our eye fixed on Jesus, author and perfecter of the faith. Actually, author and perfecter of faith. Accepting the truth from Romans 8, 26 through 30, and truly devoting ourselves to trusting God as we plod ahead, we can maintain some composure and clarity as we are reaching for our intended goal, being conformed to the image of Jesus. I can trust him because he's trustworthy, but my flesh doesn't always trust him. That goal given in verse 29, I hope to unfold next week. Not enough sit time left in your body to be able to go through that one. I'm plodding ahead and he is at work. This confronts me. This slams me on the floor and he is at work. Hallelujah for the blessings that come. He's at work. He isn't only working when it's blessing. He's working while it's painful. For us to fantasize that one day soon it's all going to naturally smooth out and become perfect. For us to fantasize that we're going to be the first couple with the perfect marriage. Or the first couple to raise perfect children. Children, stand, would you please? It's just that. It's fantasy. It's fantasy. Not happening. Well, if only had that truck or motorcycle. If I only had a wife. That wife. We fantasize. We do that. Thinking that then life is going to be perfect. My brain, and yours probably too, is full of if onlys. And then I come back to God, whose will is perfect, whose intent for me is perfect, who knows I'm flawed and I'm in a flawed place, and he is at work with all of that. The master weaver putting it together. And according to Ephesians 3:10, it's going to be on display one day for the angelic world to look on and see what God can do. Ephesians 3:10. Powerful. The wisdom of God is being displayed through us. The work of God being displayed through us. Thank you, Lord. Let me catch a breath here and take the day as it comes forth. Fantasizing about how it should be or could be does not bring peace. But to keep seeking God, who is directing our life, rely on him as our Father and the only one who has lovingly laid out his goal, this is what I'm aiming you toward, and our future, back in verse 24, 25, a little earlier, 23, the resurrection of this body going to be redeemed and transformed, and it's going to be with him. He said, here's your future. Here's what I'm doing between now and then. Trust me. Knowing that can keep us sane and faithful. Following him, we can become vessels of honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. 2 Timothy 2:21. Now, before my concluding thought, I'm going to open this up for interaction. Anybody? Question or comment? Laurel?
So we still seem to say that what Satan means for evil, God can use for good.
That's familiar. Where'd that come from? Yes, absolutely.
You touched on this, but what's hard for us to accept sometimes is that what God sees as our good, we may not agree with at the time. And sometimes the good is a lesson learned that I didn't want to learn.
It hurts.
There's times that I know in raising kids that we did things for our kids' good that they didn't agree with. And I think that's one of the things we need to realize. And I think there's a lot of things that God did that brought good that I will never recognize this side of heaven. Mm-hmm. There are things that I don't understand, and I've shared with many. I think after the first 2 or 3 million years of worship, we may get around to asking some of those questions. So why did this one happen?
Go ahead, Ron.
When you were going through those verses about God being there, knitting us together in the womb, it just brought to my mind, as I was traveling yesterday, that new pregnancy help center. Mm-hmm. Pregnancy starts here, and I think they need to be in our prayers.
Thank you. Good reminder. Cliff?
All right, some of my squirrely stuff. I admit I shared with my class this morning. I'm a fallen man. I went in the donut shop on Friday morning. But I went in to see there was a lady, and I think her grandson, he was probably about 10. And as I went in, she had just got for him, he's holding this confectionery, amazing-looking thing with fluff on the top. And then she's ordering the rest of her dozen donuts for whatever. And I watched him take a bite, and then he tugged on her shirt and looked up with his absolute adoring eyes and said, "I love you." I laughed. I was like, that was fun. It was actually one of those, I thought, okay, God, now I can justify getting the donut I should have. And I'll confess that part later, which I'm doing. But what we talked a little bit in our young people's class this morning is how often are we, when we're handed a plate of, I think we agreed on eggplant. How often when we're handed that plate with liver on it, are we going, "I love you"? But all this, what you're saying is where it is. As God, those things that come to us, they may not always immediately delight us, but it is for our good. And that's my simple little take.
I don't personally take this discussion and the things that are rooted in it or foundational to the point of saying, God broke my leg so that this would happen. Life happens.
Right.
And God takes that, and however the arrangement is between God and that is up to him. I won't know it this side of heaven. But God is able to take that. You know, and the way God works, I heard somebody use this, so I'm going to borrow from him. I've had two surgeries, one to remove half my thyroid, and the other to give me life, really. It was a spine surgery a few years ago in 2020. Those doctors hurt me in order to correct the problem. Had to cut it out. God does do things in us, Steve, that are painful. It hurts at the time. Because, like David, search my heart. See if there be any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the right way. Yes. That's God hurting me for my good. If it requires some kind of trauma because I'm being stupid, for God to say, "Are you ready to hear me yet?" That happens. But let's take it all together Many of us have gone through it, through pain that we haven't signed up for. It wasn't our choice. We had no choice in it. And we can look to him and know that even that, he knows. He knows. And he is at work. He is at work. Thankfully, he's able, but he is at work. And I wanted to drive that this morning. I have one little passage that's going to be a conclusive kind of cap on this. The fluff on the top, thank you. Not worthless fluff, but yum. Thank you, Lord, I love you. The concluding thought is that God knows and God is at work, and that goes far deeper than our imagination allows. Please, Ephesians chapter 3, two verses, the last two verses. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. A benediction to God himself. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. So beyond all that we ask or think, we're pretty creative, but abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, that's amazing, but exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that is working in us. And that benediction, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And the word keeps going, and ever and ever and ever. Through the ages. And so simple. I love you. Thank you, Cliff. That's a great story. Are you hurting? You came in with pain this morning. Maybe it's new. Maybe it's old. It's been there a long time. I don't know what God knows, though. A lot of you I do know because we touch base here and there, but I only know a little bit. God knows the depth. All of it. He knows. You don't have to tell him so he gets smarter. He knows. It's a matter of Daddy, Abba. Coming before his throne of grace and finding mercy and grace to help in the time of need at the end of chapter 4 of Hebrews. So, music team, come on back up, please.